Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
The wind blows it back all over the hands of the KFC, but Kevin James still eats them anyway.
Yes.
Please don't bring up Adam Sandler movies to Greg before 7, please. He doesn't like them.
I'm not a huge fan of Adam Sandler. No. I mean, he's no Tom Hank.
Well, who is really?
The American treasure, Tom Hank. Mm-hmm. All right. It is 7 o'clock, and this is WAAF-FM and HD1 Westboro, Boston, WEEI HD2 Lawrence, and WWBX HD2 Boston. So, if you're floating around in a certain area and you find it difficult to tune in and listen to us on the 107.3 frequency, then always give our HD channels a try. You can go for the HD2, the 104.1 if you're driving around here in Boston, and you could give the 93.7 HD channel a try, HD2. And it's real simple on most radios, I think, now when it comes to the HD.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to
tap a button.
You got to tap a button, yeah. Flip over, and boom, you're right there. And you can hear us. You can hear Lucid Lindy in high definition.
And now, LB.
He's an argumentative, perpetually horny middle-aged man.
With a WAAF Sports Minute.
Agreed. This AAF Sports Minute is brought to you by New England's hair loss experts, Dr. Matthew Lepresti, Dr. Robert Leonard. If you're tired of being bald, call 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Hayward is there. He's 1-2. Baines a screen over Embiid. 2 in a row. Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, you gotta love it. TNT last night had the doubleheader. Gordon Hayward hit for 10 in his first tilt back from being banged up big time. Broken ankle, broken leg. Jason Tatum picked up right where he left off in his rookie season last year. He hit for 23, sees 107-87 over the 76ers in the opener. Full team effort. The bench was huge last night as well. Brad Stevens has got to be very, very excited about what he's got to work with. Celtics are up in Toronto taking on the very good Raptors Friday night. And they're in the Big Apple Saturday. Late night tilt in the NBA doubleheader. Golden State over Oklahoma City, 108-100. Bees Calgary up in Canada in the first of four up north, 9:30 puck drop. ALCS from Houston, game 3, 4-2 in the eighth. Bradley Jr. made the series 2-1 Sox.
And the 1-1 to JBJ. Swinging a high drive to right field. Reddick going back to the warning track. This ball is going, and it is gone. A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr. And the Red Sox have broken it open. They lead it 8-2. Can you believe it?
We'll get back to Sox in a second. NLCS out in L.A. Dodgers, Brewers, it ended in 13, a 5.5-hour escapade. And Hill Dog's favorite play.
3-2. Ground ball. Base hit. Machado comes to the plate. Throw by Yelich. Dodgers win it. Series tied. 2-2.
Yeah, you got to love it.
Was there a particular reason for that early start to the Sox game last night? I love it. I mean, we get up early in the morning, yeah. Obviously, so there may have been some who didn't like it, but was it a marketing thing? Or
it's an overlapping thing, if I'm not mistaken. They don't want it yet, you know, so if the Sox, if the early game goes into extra innings,
then it
doesn't
overlap
into the game.
The NLCS
right,
game. Okay.
Right.
I love it.
The same both ways. You know?
Is it the same with tonight's
game?
So it's a 5
yeah,
whatever?
LA, yeah, LA.
No, but the Sox, are they a 5 o'clock?
No, they're the late game today.
Oh, Sox are the late game.
Yeah, Dodgers, Brewers at 5:05, Sox and Houston at 8:29.
So
that... I mean, eight twenty-nine.
Oh boy, I've really done it. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to confuse you.
Derail me?
I didn't mean to derail you, but I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, you are killing it.
Yeah.
With the sports. I mean, it has been wildly accurate. We can understand exactly what you're saying. It's just one day at a time, and you are absolutely killing it these days.
Yeah, we love
it. We love the new LB. The new LB is amazing.
Well, the first pitch might be 8:39, but if you get there at 8:29, you're going to be early.
Yeah, of course.
Chris Sale made it to Texas. It's either a start or bullpen for game five. No more flu or whatever sent him to the hospital. And again, are the Astros cheaters still, Doc?
I don't know. What do you think about this story about...
Are they idiots? it's like 2018.
Yeah.
And they got busted for... So here's the deal. So you know the media area beside the Red Sox dugout?
Yes.
Okay. They did the same thing in Cleveland. They put an Astro media guy. He had media creds. He's an Astros employee.
Yeah.
In there with a camera taking pictures.
Yeah.
So he was removed in Cleveland.
Yeah.
A little late, but and then he was in the Sox area as well. Dombrowski, the GM, said that they knew about it. They were aware of it.
They thought it could happen.
It was
they were
game
waiting.
One.
Yeah.
And but they yanked him out of there early before, you know, he said it had no cause on the outcome of the game.
So it's like Spygate all over again. I mean, you got a guy who is filming things that he shouldn't be filming. He's probably trying to get signals or whatever, right?
Well, allegedly, they said that he was actually looking to see if the Sox were stealing their signals and reporting back to the Astros.
Oh,
so it's like allegedly an anti-espionage thing.
Oh.
Sure, yeah. Whatever. We all know everybody does it. That's why Alex Cora said, we're just going to let MLB handle it. It's in their hands now, and didn't want to comment on it because... This is what every team does. This, the pine tar, whatever, the whoever's got under his wrist or on his glove.
Yeah.
You know, this is part of the game. They just got caught doing it, so they're not very good at it. The world champions.
Yeah. All right. LB, thank you.
Thank you, kid.
It is 7:07, and coming up on this morning's show at 8:30, it's Ask an Attorney, your chance to get your legal questions answered for free by Larry the Lawyer. So that's happening at 8:30 today. On tomorrow's show at 7:30 or thereabouts, it is Stowe 5-0, a quick look at the crimes that were either walked in or called in to my lifelong hometown police department in Stowe over the last week. And also tomorrow at 7:50, we'll go inside the warped female brain. And then Friday, after 18 years, it is our last day in this studio at 20 Guest Street, kid, here in Brighton. We're moving to new studios next week, and we will share with you on Friday's show some of the great or not-so-great moments that have occurred in this studio right here on the New Balance campus here in Brighton, right on the beautiful Massachusetts Turnpike here in scenic, secure Brighton, Massachusetts. Now, the good thing is we are just moving down the street, so we'll still be in Brighton. I can still say beautiful, safe Brighton, Massachusetts and annoy half of you.
But you're not going to be able to do your Pike traffic check-in.
I know. I'm not going to be able to look out and observe the Massachusetts Turnpike and tell you what the traffic is like. So we'll have to do what everybody else does and fake the traffic.
Yes.
All right. it is 7:09.
So since we were talking about sports a few minutes ago, Greg, I wanted to know, now that the Malden High principal has spoken out about their forfeit with the Everett game, does it make you feel any differently Nation of Pussies-wise with the whole thing?
Not really. We discussed this yesterday as a Nation of Pussies report. Malden High School has forfeited their game this Friday night because essentially Everett is too good and too big. And they were worried apparently about the safety of the high school kids who were playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of you thought that that was not a good thing to do. That it's a bad thing in this country when you say we're going to lose this game and we're going to get beat by a lot, and so we're just not going to play it. Now the principal spoke. Well, let's play the audio. What's his name?
Chris Mastrangelo.
Okay.
During the course of the season, numbers diminished through some injuries. We've gotten ourselves down to the point where we have about 39 active players, of which 22 are freshmen. Putting them in a position we can't guarantee that they're going to be okay from a safety standpoint.
I don't know. Maybe.
Isn't it a slap in the face to Everett saying that you're nasty? You play illegal football. You're trying to injure my players on purpose.
Yeah. I don't think that's the allegation they're making. I think that you're saying just because 22 of the kids are freshmen that they're not as experienced to maybe handle the game like the Everett kids.
How are they going to get experience?
Exactly.
I was 18 years old playing for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Should I not be allowed to play if I'm good enough to play, or if I'm not good enough to be, if they choose to put me on the team?
I think they should play the game.
That's how you
I really
get
do.
Better.
I think they should play the game. There are freshmen who end up playing depending on what the talent is like on a team, and they end up, you know, I think you should play the game.
I just think it's ridiculous. Yeah. How do you learn to drive a car?
Yeah.
You know, you practice. Yeah.
But do you go into a NASCAR race as soon as you get behind the wheel? I think that's the concern that some parents have.
Okay, Mom.
Well, I, unlike you, go online to read some of the comments about the stories that we discuss, and this is the concern that people are expressing.
Well, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a pussification of America in 2018.
Yeah.
It sends the wrong message. The kids miss out on watching somebody that's really, really good, like the running back from Everett. The linebacker watches, that gets blown out because
learns,
the guy has great footwork.
From that experience
he
or
learns,
whatever he learns.
He juke me with the, you know, a double step. Then he watches for the double step and he knows what a double step looks like. A spin move. You can't learn if you don't get your ass whooped.
Greg knows what a double order looks like.
Here's somebody who lost a high school football game 92-7. And it was a great experience, they said, because they learned how to lose. And in life, you have to learn how to lose in order to learn how to win.
Right.
And you have to be okay with losing, you know. Oh, hold on. Andy agrees with Nancy Know-It-All. Hello, Andy.
Hey, what's going on, Greg?
What's up, man?
I get what you guys are saying, but the development of a person between the ages of 14 and 18 is huge, especially in football. LB, you know my friend Eric Lindstrom. I played football with Eric.
Yeah,
he was a beast. And if you put him up against freshmen, they would get hurt. I get what you're saying about, and I played football with Eric for 3 years. We had a great team down in Weymouth, and, I get both sides of it. Yeah, you don't want the pussification of America and losing is part of the game, but putting freshmen, especially from a small school, up against a giant team like that, you could seriously get someone hurt. Because think of the development of a 14-year-old compared to an 18-year-old.
Well, 14-year-olds playing games every Friday night in Massachusetts.
But not 22 of them. Every now and then you get a good freshman that has the size and the ability to compete with seniors, but not all of them. And if you get a small group of kids that are, you're picking from, you're not getting the cream of the crop of talent. And then you got Everett that has powerhouse system up there that, you know, kids just been in the system and want to play. And you got a good thing. I get it, though. You know, I wouldn't want my kid to get destroyed. Like I said, we had some huge kids. And if they were playing against freshmen, kids would get hurt.
So basically what you're saying is the Browns should have canceled the last five NFL seasons. All right. Well, more on this coming up on today's Hillman Morning Show. You know that Houston team, they're the defending champions. They're just too good. The Red Sox should have forfeited this entire series. Some of the guys might get hurt. I think they should forfeit that game tonight because some of those guys might get hurt. This is Mike on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, guys?
What's going on?
I just wanted to ask about, like, I'm not really sure about this. I mean, obviously, it seems to me like this is a little ridiculous having a team forfeit, but that made me question, like, are these teams in the same division or what?
It's possible that they are. In Massachusetts high school football, you do play a couple games that are not in your division. So well, it's possible. I think they probably are. And by the way, just in case you're just joining us, we're discussing the Nation of Pussies report from yesterday on the show, which has now turned into a big story, which is that Malden High School will be forfeiting their game on Friday night against Everett High School because the Malden officials, the school officials, believe that there is a chance that their kids will get hurt because Everett is just too big and too good. So I would assume somebody will text in, but they're probably in the
It's a 120 year rivalry,
right? That's right, LB. Yeah, it's like it's a 120 year rivalry.
But in 2018 we're going to forfeit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous.
I think at a certain point, if that's the case, if it's a 120 year rivalry, but you've got one school that has, you know, however many kids, you know, playing on the team that are that big, you know, and then you've got another school that, you know, they can't seem to get as many kids on the team, or they've had injuries like that, and it's that far of a disadvantage, you know, you wouldn't put a heavyweight up against a welterweight. That's what it sounds like to me, that like people are complaining about, and it's like, well, I understand, but, you know, the kids should still play. But if it's that much of a problem, then the MIAA needs to be doing something about, you know, figuring out, okay, if this is that much of a, you know, a drop-off in whatever talent or size or whatever, maybe we need to consider something here. Because that's what it sounds like to me.
Can we think rationally? So they have 22 freshmen.
Yeah.
Those 22 freshmen are going to be 22 seniors. I bet Malden's going to have a pretty good football team.
Yeah, right.
In a couple of years. Right.
Yeah,
so do you think it might be to their advantage to play someone like Everett to gain experience so that...
I think it would, but, I mean, I absolutely think it would, you know, but the thing is like that last caller had said, you know, you're talking about, you know, these huge kids up against these little tiny freshmen that are just going to wipe the floor with them, and somebody might get hurt. If that's really an issue, then that's what I'm saying. If it's really that much of an issue, then why are they in the same division?
Because Malden's right beside Everett, and they've been competing against each other for 120 years. I just love all the outsiders, you know? Just take care of business and go play the game.
Here's a text that says this Everett team would beat Bentley. I hope Breece Hill is not up and listening right now. Here's the aggressive text of the morning. I'll go ahead and read it, which says, "Big tough Greg talking about high school kids when he can't do an appearance without Egan to protect him."
But that's because he wears glasses.
I happen to go many places without Johnny Egan, and I'm happy to go lots of places and do lots of things. For instance, I was at Barbecue Festival, my lonesome. So if you wanted to text her, if you wanted to do some kind of a suplex or something on me, you could have done it right there, and I would have had no protection.
Johnny Egan is so much more than just personal security. He's a valet.
He's a
snack wrangler.
He's a friend.
He's a friend.
He's a food tester.
He's a good.
That's
well,
a guy you want on your side.
Never gets poisoned.
He does like to eat. Shu, you had something to add on
why,
this.
How does Everett have a second string?
Well, they probably have a JV team, so I suppose that theoretically they could play their JV team. I'm assuming that the way the game would go if they played it is that Everett would put their starters in and get up a couple of touchdowns and then get their JV guys in, and it wouldn't be a massive blowout. And
Can't the coaches get together and work out a plan? Right?
But maybe they could.
That would be my call.
Yeah,
that way the freshmen learn, and the kids on the other team who don't get to play often get some playing time.
Right.
They get to
like
learn.
It, Shoe. I like it.
Yeah. Let's see. This is Bill. Hello, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Greg.
What's up, Bill?
I just want to chime in on what LB said earlier about the fact that whatever, it's a 120-year rivalry, and now it's 2018. But take a look at the NFL. You know, for years, you know, the hitting was vicious and gruesome, and the fans loved it. And now we have this nation of pussies concussion protocol. It's basically cascading down to, you know, the youth leagues, where now the groups are, they want to make sure that the kids don't get hurt. So I think it's a microcosm of what we're seeing on a greater scale all the way up into the professional leagues.
Yeah.
You know where I stand. I think Hill Dog agrees with me. Shu agrees with me. There's no reason to for you. I mean, it's not saying a lot about the Everett coach, head coaches, and his coaching staff. Is that what you really believe, that the pregame speech is, they've got 22 freshmen, let's go out and snap some limbs? I'm hoping they're not that barbaric.
A texter says that Everett ends up with the most D1 scholarships in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts every year.
Yeah, so right. They've had an incredible run.
Yeah,
it's a great program.
Yeah,
and that's how the Malden coaching staff, that's how the Malden players can watch, learn, get their asses whooped and figure out why they got their asses whooped.
This is Bobby on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, Mike Shu said it right. The second string players would be in second quarter, come out to halftime. You know what I mean? It'd be a chance to have the starters come out, play. It'd be a preseason game. That's all it would be for Everett.
Yeah.
But they're going to lose that Friday night under the lights that's been going on, like you said, Greg, for over 100 years. It is a shame. It really is.
Well, it doesn't teach a lesson about persevering.
Every sport has got a bench. Mm-hmm. Basketball, baseball, when you get up,
you don't have to
get your starters and you play the bench.
You don't have to tell 00 that every sport has a bench. I got a lot of
have a good morning.
I got a lot of splinters. Apparently, this is what Everett did last week when they played Medford. Medford? Yes. The starters were in for 6 minutes and they were up 33-0.
Yeah.
And they yanked them and the JV guys got in.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it is. Now John is a high school football referee, apparently. Hey, John.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
Yeah, you guys are all exactly right. Just to expound on what everybody else has said. It's just like the game I did last Friday night. The team that was a lot better went up like 42-0 at halftime. Both coaches said, hey, running time in the second half. We said, yep. Both sides had their younger kids in. Everything was fine, and that was it. So that's what should happen here. It's sad to see what's going on.
I mean, I would assume that there are a lot of games that end up being blowouts. And
sure.
Unfortunately, one team may get their feelings hurt a little bit.
What?
But we don't want that to happen anymore.
No.
And we want everybody to be a winner. And so we're just gonna give up. We're just gonna forfeit and we're not gonna play this game because we might lose by a giant number. So all right. Well, here's a text that now see people are talking about how Everett they got the kids playing over there that are using the addresses that are not their addresses, and this is where all the bitterness begins and everything. Yeah.
They got the fake birth certificates.
Well, they may have, but you can't whine about that stuff.
That's not the issue, though.
It's not
the issue. Okay, that whether that's true or not, it's teaching these kids how to play the game, winning and losing, how to deal with losing, how to deal with winning.
Several texters have asked if you think anybody actually asked the kids what they wanted to do.
I bet nobody did. Yeah.
This is Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Ryan?
I was just calling about the fact of, some of these kids on Everett, like somebody said earlier, are a really good team, scholarship bound, when you're looking at scholarships, a lot of things that other coaches look at is, stats, yardage, and whatnot. Now, you got some of these kids going to be one game down, maybe getting compared to kids that played, one more game. So, some of these kids could have a good, 60-yard game or something like that.
Sure.
Really affect their stats, for
Here's a text that says, Greg, this is not about talent. It's about the safety of the kids. A small freshman is not as strong as a senior that has been working out, doing heavy lifting for the last 4 years. Well,
yeah, Dustin Pedroia listened to that crap his whole life,
right?
Yeah. You're too small to play. You're too small to play. You're too small to play.
What about Miracle on Ice? What about Herb Brooks? What if if he just said this Russian team is undefeated for the last 15 years? We can't play him because we might get hurt. He wouldn't have been able to say this is our time. hold on, a mom is on the phone. I don't think she's calling about swinging. Hello, Jody?
Hi.
Jody.
Are you calling about the Adirondack chairs out in the front lawn, or are you calling about this football story?
The football story.
Okay, all right. What's going on? You're a mom. Are you a football mom?
I am a definite football mom. Okay. And my son played as a freshman, and we are in Hollis, New Hampshire, and the coach had us play Tewksbury. Just to see if we could go up a division and the kids could handle it. My son got a slight concussion, but he's fine.
Yeah.
You know, they pulled him out of the game and they had their younger kids play. Tewksbury actually had the JV team play just to see what we could be up against. So I think this whole thing is silly. As a mom, I mean, these kids, how do you know this freshman kid team isn't going to be better?
What if they won?
Their JV team. They can handle it. I just think it's silly. And it's like you guys say, it's a nation of pussies. They should play the game.
What if they ended up winning? You know, I mean,
happening.
I know. Well, probably.
You don't know that until they play.
Right. Yeah, you don't know. All right. It is 7:35 here on the Hillman Morning Show. I want to get to a quick discussion about what Roger Daltrey of The Who and LB have in common based on some news today. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Roger Daltrey has discovered that he has many children that he didn't know he had.
Yes.
Because the 60s.
Right.
And because the 70s.
Yes. He realized he didn't have 5 kids. He had 8.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, they were all born after his divorce from his first wife, Jackie Rickman, in 1968, and before his marriage to Heather Taylor in 1971, and all of them were put up for adoption.
Huh.
He said, they all came into my life after my 50th birthday. It was great. It's all worked out. They stay in touch, and they're close. I've tried to do my best about a situation that couldn't change because it happened a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
All 3 were girls, and Roger refers to them as his surprise kids.
If you're wondering why The Who is still touring, this is the answer.
Yeah.
Yes, Roger has several tuition payments that he must make every month houses to buy for newly discovered children. But I mean, listen, the guy, he had a lot of fun. I'm sure there were a lot of groupies and a lot of crazy nights and a lot of crazy mornings. And he's got several children out there that he didn't know about.
That's why B.B. King toured all the way up until he died.
Is that why?
He had something like 30.
Wow.
It was
kidding me.
It was crazy. It's a crazy number. I don't know exact, but it was a crazy number, and that's why he was always on the road. Because he kudos to him. He wanted to support all his children,
right,
so he just kept doing
Stand-up guy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of direct deposits.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was.
A texter says when Edelman is on the Hillman Huddle Friday on this show, we got to ask him about the Malden Everett thing because he was the squirrel.
Yes.
Jules. What is the name of Squirrel Jules in the book?
Jules.
Is that the name of it?
I haven't read the book, but I think you're right.
I think in the kid's book, the name of the squirrel is Jules.
You can't break open your autographed copy?
I could. I mean, what time is Edelman coming on Friday?
Not sure. Around 7.
Around
right
7
now,
o'clock
but,
or so?
Great guess.
All right. Bubs Edelman, the Hillman Huddle this week. Do you see the guy? Now we're just we're drifting far away from normal topics here, but that's okay. Speaking of squirrels,
yes,
not squirrels with boobs. But did you see the guy who died because he was eating squirrel brains?
Yes. What did he get? Like mad cow or he got Creutzfeldt Jakob?
He got mad nut disease.
Yeah, I saw that.
But yeah, I don't know if that's is that a delicacy or. Was he just hungry?
No, he's a hunter.
He's
a hunter from New York. He ate squirrel brains. He's 61 years old. He was brought to Rochester Regional Hospital after he was having trouble thinking clearly, was losing touch with reality, and could no longer walk on his own. Uh-oh.
I do not eat squirrel.
You don't eat squirrel?
No.
No.
I have once, but I did not eat squirrel last week.
Hey, I just got a text from Senator Warren, and she would like you to know that she is 150th Roger Daltrey's child.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I don't know if you knew that or not. But a texter just tuned in, and they thought they were watching CSI New York or something, but that's not it. All right. We're going to play your Hill Mail voicemail messages back in about 20 minutes. And then at 8:30, it's Ask an Attorney. And I mentioned Friday's show. We'll talk with Julian Edelman. That'll be the Hillman Huddle. We'll talk about the Patriots with J.E. And we're going to present the very best moments from the 18 years that we have been in this 20 Guest Street studio on our last day in the studio. That's Friday. Also Friday, we'll have LB's greatest moments of the week now that he is Lucid Lindy. Right. So that is all coming up on Friday's show. I hope you'll be here at 6 for the very beginning of that. There's big food news today, and for it, we have to go to the Hillman Morning Show Ambassador to the North End, Damian DePaola, who joins us this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing inventory. I'm in the walk-in. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Wait, I hope there's nothing else in there.
All right. What's going on? How you guys doing? Great?
We're doing good.
Hey, how about the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. What do you think? Are they going to do it?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, whenever they get knocked out of the first round, of course, they don't advance, obviously, but whenever they get out of the first round, they usually go on to the World Series.
Yeah.
So that's a good omen.
I think we got to talk to some guys in Houston to do some things with the players, if you know what I'm saying.
We already sent the message. They went out to eat at some Italian restaurant there, and they were all crapping their brains out last night. Houston players.
Now, listen. There's big news today, and that is that TripAdvisor has determined that the best pizza in the United States of America, in the whole entire country, is from Pizzeria Regina in the North End. So, and I think we talked a little bit about this with you, about how good it is when we were doing the last blind food taste test challenge in the studio, but big news for them over there, Damian.
I tell you what, you know, they deserve it. They've been there forever. It's the original location. I mean, if you say Pizzeria Regina's everywhere, I mean, they are pretty consistent, but yeah. I think they get to a Papa Gino's-esque level when it's not the North End location.
Right.
Having said that, I tell you what, a lot of people agree the best, if you just go all cheese.
Yeah.
Regina Pizza's probably does really have the best cheese pizza. It hits on all notes.
I mean,
love Italian-American pizza. It's not the Neapolitan stuff.
Right.
It's not the wood-burning. But let me tell you something. I think they deserve it, 100%.
How long has that place been there? Do you know?
Oh, Christ. I want to say maybe early 50s.
Yeah. I love being able to throw it in the face of the New Yorkers who think that they have great pizza. They think the New York pizza is great. And
they're all arrogant. I mean, over there, you know, they think that they have the best of everything. They, you know, The only thing they might have had the best of everything years ago was the New York Yankees. Years ago. Kiss that goodbye.
Well, listen, this is...
More rats in New York than there are in Boston.
And we don't like rats, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So Damian is our official ambassador to the North End. And big news, the Boston wins again. The best pizza in the United States of America, according to TripAdvisor. And it's great to talk to you this morning, and I hope we get to see you soon. All right, pal?
Hey, thanks for calling, guys. Go Red Sox, and enjoy the day. Score yourself.
Back at you.
All right. It is 7:55, and the weather this hour is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. It's going to be sunny today. Oh, it's going to be a weird day weather-wise because the wind is going to gust up to 40 miles an hour this afternoon, and it's going to be in the 60s. And then a cold front is moving in, and it's going to rain, and the temperature overnight is going to get down to 30 in the suburbs and 37 here in Boston. What?
Do you have ice on your windshield this morning?
Yes, I did. Yes, I had a little frost on the windshield this morning.
Had to fire up the vehicle.
Yeah. Frost. Hopefully the snow will not be flying for a while, but I mean theoretically, I guess with the rain and the temperature at 30 in some suburb areas tonight, it could happen, I guess.
Is Channel 7 doing anything alliterative, like weird wild weather?
I don't know if they are. They probably will at some point, Danielle. You're probably right about that. All right. By the way, a texter is pointing out that Pizzeria Regina has been open since 1926.
Yeah.
Right. Not as Damian said, the 50s. So if you've been open since 1926 and you can't get it right and be the best pizza in the United States, then you're doing something wrong. So that's pretty good. Yeah. I like their pizza. I mean,
I do too.
And it's a cool place to go to.
It's their sauce.
You like the sauce?
Yeah.
And they don't put pineapples on their pizza over there, and they never will.
You got to give them props if the pizza's tasted exactly the same since 1926.
Sure.
That's incredible to pass on that tradition.
It's like when my mother complains about Santarpio's. It's not the same since the old man died. He used to make the pizzas with the little white hat on. It's not the same. It used to be different.
Here's a text that says, there's no way that Greg doesn't have a climate-controlled garage for his vehicles.
We've discussed this before.
Yeah. Yes.
Greg has ceded to the rest of the family when it comes to the garage situation, which blows my mind. I don't know why you just don't throw the addition on.
What, throw an addition, add an additional garage?
That can fit either your Escalade or Brees's F-150 that's sitting there stagnant.
Have a nice lounge area, sectional couch,
He's got three of those already.
The problem is that there's too much junk in the garage to get the vehicles in there, and I don't want to clean the garage out.
Is that code?
That could be code. all right. Let's see. Apparently, the meatball pomodoro is absolute heaven if you go to Pizzeria Regina.
Sounds good.
Best pizza in the United States of America. This is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to put a shout-out for Louis Pizza of Woburn. If you're lucky enough to get one, like, on a game day, they take their phone off the hook by noon.
Yep.
It's hands down the best pizza in the world.
Rando ding, LB, for Louis. And you got to go. So you got to get in early, like at noon or whatever?
If you can, yeah. But it, or you can pull the random, like, try to surprise them and walk in and be like, yeah, can I get a pizza to go? And they'd be like, yeah, dude, come back in an hour. I'm not kidding.
All right. You got anything you want to talk about before we get the Hill Mail this morning?
Yeah, I did want to mention, you know, we talk about LB talks about the billion-dollar pet industry all the time.
Yes, yes.
Americans are going to be spending $500 million on Halloween costumes for their pets this year.
Half a billion?
Totally believable.
A billion.
You're kidding me.
Yep.
No.
According to the National Retail Federation, Americans are expected to spend about $480 million on costumes for their pets this Halloween. It's more than double what we spent on pet costumes back in 2010. But since we've done stories that show, you know, people in the millennial age category are buying homes for their dogs and not to have kids, I think it makes sense to have this significant jump. The theory on what's really pumping up the spending, though, is, and I say this is the reason for many things we talk about, Instagram. Everybody wants to share a picture of their dog dressed as Captain America or something else, you know, in the hopes that it will go viral.
Yeah.
So the most popular pet costumes for 2018 are...
Squirrel with boobs.
Yes. That has surged to the top since yesterday. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Kind of obvious.
Oh, pumpkin. Is that good for both cats and dogs?
I think so.
Okay. Sure.
Hot dog, which makes sense lengthwise, and bumblebee also.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.